Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing? Yeah, much better since the sun is out and it feels good outside, and we'll let you get out there very soon. So be patient. We'll be out momentarily. We won't be long. Wonderful day outside. We praise God for the sunshine. I'd like to start off with this. Those of you who are new or relatively new to Mercy, I'd like to invite you to what we call the welcome gathering. It's going to happen right after today's service in the cafe at the large table right outside of these doors. It's just an opportunity for you to get to know me a little bit better, to learn more about Mercy, about where we're going, what we're doing here, what we do, and for me to get a chance to get to know you a little bit better. It takes just about 20 minutes to a half an hour, depending on how many people we have show up. And I'll give you a tour of the building so you can see what we're working with. I'd love to meet you after today's service, so come on out. And if you've just never been to one of these, I'd love for you to come and hang out with us right after service, all right? So looking forward to meeting you today. Now, we are wrapping up a sermon series entitled Follow Me. And what we have talked about this far is that following Jesus is being his disciple. He's calling us to follow him, to be his apprentice, to be a student. And a student, what we found out, is not one who just fills their heads with knowledge, but it's one who actually applies that knowledge to their lives, to actually do the things that Jesus has done, to mimic his life in this life. That is what a follower actually does. And so that is what we call spiritual maturity. When we become more and more like Jesus, we start to mimic him in every area of our lives. So if you've missed any of these messages in this series, I would encourage you to go back online, mercyvineyard.org, or to our YouTube page and check out any of the messages that you have missed. And if you are an audio person, you can go to Spotify or Apple Podcast and you can check out the messages right there. But for today's message, I'd like for you to follow me to the Gospel of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them up or turn them on to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. We're actually going to see where this all starts. We're ending the sermon series with the beginning of Jesus's following ministry. Verse number 18, I'll be reading from the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. It reads this way. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Today, I'd like to preach followers fish. Followers fish. Join me in prayer, would you? Holy Spirit, would you come? We can do nothing without your power and your presence. So we invite you to take control. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to just be in your presence together in unity and in love. And we thank you for that love, that love that we cannot count, that love that that can't be quantified, that love that reaches out to us every time we slip, we fall, we turn our backs. You are always there, ready to receive us again. So we thank you for that mercy, for that grace, for that perfect love. And we ask you to show us the greatness of that love as we dig into your text today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you have ever been fishing? You've been fishing before? Anybody? Okay, all right. The majority of the room has been fishing before. Awesome. Last weekend was the kickoff to fishing season in the great state of Minnesota. How many of you went fishing last weekend? You went fishing? All right, some of y'all, that's why you weren't in church last week. I get you telling on yourself. I got you. Fishing on Mother's Day is interesting. Somebody told me that you set the first day on Mother's Day so that the mothers can get a break, so that the fathers can take the kids fishing. I don't know if that's what actually happens, but somebody lied to me, obviously. Fishing is wonderful. It's a wonderful pastime. It's actually one of my favorite pastimes. I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, right off of the Chesapeake Bay, where we do nothing but fish and crab. Oh, my goodness. God knew what he was doing when he created the crab. I tell you, somebody was asking me last week, they saw my iPad, right? My cover photo on my iPad, and it's a picture of a crab cake, a Maryland-style crab cake. And somebody said, what is that on your iPad? And I said, oh, that is the sexiest picture besides my wife that I have on my device. I probably shouldn't have said that, but in the name of Jesus, amen. All right. But I love the fish. That's my point. My point is, I love the fish. I have all kinds of stories about fishing. Some of my greatest memories of fishing. I remember back when I was probably about 7 years old, I caught this huge rainbow trout. It was probably this big and in my seven-year-old mind. But it was probably in reality like this big. But, you know, all fishers have great fishing tales and fishing stories about the one that got away. Oh, my gosh, I had a whale on the line. Yeah, right. You had a minnow. But you got to tell the story, right? You tell the story. Fishers, actually, fishing is a wonderful profession. I think it's one of the most dangerous, but it's a lot of fun for those of us, I guess, that grew up near the water. But fishing actually takes some skill. Fishing takes some skills that you don't necessarily naturally possess, but you can learn along the way. If you want to be a good fisher, there's some lessons that you need to learn and some practices that you need to engage in. One, fishers need to be quiet. If you have a loud person on your boat, throw them overboard. Because you're not catching anything. They up there making all kind of noise, drinking and all that kind of stuff. Listen, fishers have to be patient. You can't go out on the boat and expect in 5 minutes to fill your cooler with fish. No, it doesn't work like that. You need to spend the morning out there, the whole day, if you want to catch some fish. Fishers need to take their time. Fishers need to know their fish, the fish that they're targeting, because they need to know the bait that is needed in order to catch that fish. Fishers need to know the environment that they're fishing in. Like, what's under that water so that I know how deep to go with my line? I know what kind of fish are down there. How can I go about going for those fish or catching those fish? The first four people that Jesus invites to follow him were all fishermen. Peter and Andrew are the ones we see in this text. If you read down further, you see James and John are next. Why does Jesus call the first four people that he calls and invites to follow him? Why are they fishers? Because I think that fact is significant. Because there's something that a fisherman is equipped to do that Jesus can utilize in his mission in this world. I think that there's some great lessons from fishermen, fisherwomen, fishing people that he wants us to learn and apply to our lives today. We can learn these skills, and I believe that when we learn these skills and when we put them into practice, we join in what the Father is actually doing in the world today. Here in Matthew chapter number 4, we see Jesus fishing for people. He's going out looking for people to join him in ministry, people to follow him. That's why he goes after and approaches Peter and Andrew. He invites them into his mission. He says, I want you to follow me. I want you to join me to help me accomplish my mission in this world. What is Jesus' mission in this world? His mission is to multiply. His mission is to multiply disciples, to make more disciples, to reach people. People don't think that's the most sexiest thing in the world. You're like, man, I want to, Jesus, we want to build bigger buildings. We want to go and do whatever. I mean, just people have put all kinds of missions on Jesus. Jesus's mission is to reach more people. In full disclosure, every Wednesday, we have what's called a preaching team meeting. So whoever's preaching on that Sunday gets in front of the rest of the staff and preaches the message. So I get in front of my team and I preach this message in front of them last Wednesday. And this message caused a great deal of anxiety among our team. It triggered something in folks. You can see the sweat rolling down there. Like, Gary, you really going to preach this? Why are you going to talk about this? You know, there's something about reaching people for Jesus that kind of sets people off. You see, I'm going to take a moment to pause and acknowledge that I believe in our American context, the church and many Christians have messed up our idea of what it means to reach people. Many of you have come to me and talked to me and had lunch with me and said, hey, the reason I'm leaving such and such church is because that pastor over there does nothing but condemn me to hell. All they do is preach messages that make me feel lower than low. All they do is tell me how awful I am. Maybe you've engaged with some folks on street corners who are yelling at you at the top of their lungs, pretending to be on Team Jesus. Maybe you've had some other bad experiences, like maybe you've been to a church or talked to a Christian who blurred the lines between Jesus and popular culture. And because you might not follow the way of a popular culture, they condemn you because they think you don't love people. Or maybe you've been to a church or talked to some folks that have blurred the lines between Jesus and politics. And because you didn't vote a certain way or you don't believe in a certain political platform, then people condemn you and tell you that you're not following Jesus because Jesus is in my political party, right? Many of us have had horrible experiences with church and Christianity. And I do want to acknowledge that. We've had horrible experiences with those who claim to be reaching out to people for Jesus, but condemning people. Let me just stop and say that John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 is the one that we neglect all the time. It says that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. He didn't come to make you feel like you're going to hell every 5 minutes. He didn't come to make you feel like you're trash. He came to say, every time you slip, every time you fall, every time you make a mistake, acknowledge it and come back to me because I love you. That's the message of Jesus that reaches people the best. So Jesus is asking people to fish for people. And oftentimes when we hear that we have to reach people for Jesus, we cringe. If somebody tells them, share your faith, I don't know about that. You know, they'll find out on their own, right? God will show them something. He'll send lightning down or something, won't he? Why? I got to talk to them. We often don't want to talk to people because we don't want to be labeled like those people. We don't talk to people because we don't want to be looked at as hypocritical. We don't want to be looked at as judgmental. We don't want to be looked at as overbearing. We don't want to be canceled. I got my reputation to uphold, Gary. I can't tell everybody I know Jesus. But what Jesus is asking us to do is absolutely, I want to acknowledge, it is absolutely hard in today's culture. It is difficult. It is not some easy strategy. Oh, Gary's going to tell me the three steps to share my faith today, that all I got to do is just exist and breathe and I'm done. No, there's something that Jesus wants to call us into. I'd like you to know that the horrible experiences that you've experienced in the past were not the ways of Jesus. That he is a God of love and compassion and invitation. Let me tell you about what we find in this text. We find things that are repeated in hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the study or the art and science of biblical interpretation, okay? Hermeneutics teaches us this one, a lot of lessons, but one of the lessons is this, that when you see something repeated, you have to pay close attention to it. Because something that is repeated is being emphasized. Something that is being repeated is of utmost importance. In this text, we see, verse 19, that Jesus Christ starts his public ministry off with this line, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." He starts his ministry out inviting people to reach people. At the end of this chapter, at the end of this book of Matthew, his final words to his followers, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, he says, "All authority is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Reach people. The bookends of Jesus' ministry are reach people and reach people. The bookends of Jesus' life are reach people and reach people, and he's asking us, if we are followers, if we want to be followers of him, that we should mimic the life of Jesus. Jesus' aim for these fishers and for everyone else who considers himself a disciple of Jesus is threefold in this passage. Put verse 19 back up there. Is follow me, and I will make you fish. You can put the number three up there again. Follow, be formed, and fish. Three things in that passage. So let me start off with follow me. Follow me is what we've been talking about all of this series. So go back and listen to the messages. I don't need to regurgitate what follow means. I'll sum it up in this one line, is that following Jesus is mimicking Jesus. It is doing the stuff that Jesus did. We read about Jesus not just to have knowledge of what Jesus did, but to actually put it into practice. That's what a follower does. And you're like, but Gary, that stuff is, I mean, Jesus went out and like prayed over people and they got well. I mean, like, Jesus actually, like, talked to people. Like, yeah, he did. And he's saying if we do those things, if we step out in faith and do those things, he will show up and do miraculous things through us. So following him is mimicking him. But let me say this, following is not easy. It is not the easy road. I don't know if you've tried Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you have never attempted to follow Jesus. Maybe this is your first time hearing the message. Thank you for joining us. Following Jesus is not the easy road. Actually, following Jesus is like getting into shape. Listen, 2 weeks ago, I was feeling a certain way. And so I pulled out the scale out the bathroom. And I said, Lord, since I moved to Minneapolis, I've been kind of busy. I had my hands full a little bit. And so I haven't been doing all the stuff that I normally do. And so I was feeling a certain way around this region, right? And so I stepped on the scale, and the scale looked back at me and was like, bro, what you doing? And so I said, okay, Mr. Scale, I get the message. And so every morning for the last 2 weeks, I have not been successful with waking up and doing my workout routine. But I've been trying. When you are out of practice with something, it's hard to get back going again. Right. I got up one morning, and I'm out there. You know, my wife, is she in here? No, she's not here. Okay, I talk. My wife, let me tell you the story. Look, my wife, she will criticize me because she says that I still think I am in my wrestling body. You know, I wrestled when I was in high school. And so I'll get out here and I'll try to do all the stuff that I used to do when I was a wrestler and end up pulling a muscle and all that kind of stuff. So she's right. You know, I got to end the story with she's right. So when y'all go back and tell on me. You say, Lakita, Gary said you was right. That's all you need to tell her. But I'm out there, I get up, and I try to do some push-ups, and I'm like, oh, God. I got 5 in. I need to build those muscles back up. I need to get back in practice of doing those things. I need to every day do one more than I did the day before. I need to do one more sit-up than I did the day before. I need to do one more squat than the day before so I can get myself back into shape. I can't just jump out there or I'm going to hurt myself or somebody else. Jesus is inviting us to follow him, and it's not easy. It's like he wants us to do one thing at a time, to progress in this thing. If you're not used to preaching from a stage, don't get up on the stage and preach. Like, start talking to your mama, talk to your friend, talk to your kids, but take one step at a time. So he wants you, if you're going to follow him, right, to not take the easy road, but to grow in him. I'm going to jump to number 2, and that is the second thing that he invites us to do is to be formed by him. He says, I will make you fishers of people. I am going to develop, I am going to form you, I am going to shape you. Right? Jesus is going to do this work in us. I will form you. I will make you into fishers. How many of you have older siblings? All right. Oh, look at all the younger siblings in the house. It was like all the younger siblings over here, all the older ones over here. Well, people that don't want to raise a hand over here. And I get it. If you have an older sibling, that older sibling serves as a role model. That older sibling, right, younger siblings often look up to their older sibling because they want to do what their older sibling does. They want to live like their older sibling does. They want to say the words that they heard their older sibling say. Or they want to play the video games that their older sibling plays. They want to wear the clothes that their older sibling plays. They want to go everywhere that their older sibling goes. I know because I got a younger brother. When I was 17, I was like, man, I'm trying to get in trouble, Ma. I'm not trying to have this little tag along follow behind me. Anyway, Jesus Christ is telling us, I am your older brother. Will you look up to me? Will you mimic me? Will you watch me? Will you learn from me and then apply those things to your life so that you can be formed by me? You can be shaped by me. You can become more like me, the older brother, if you follow me. I will form you. To be formed by Jesus is like having a personal trainer. Anybody ever had a personal trainer before? Only a couple people. All right. I've had a personal trainer before. And when you have a personal trainer, you ask the question, why am I paying this person to put me through all of this nonsense? I can do bad by myself. You don't have to push me. You don't have to aggravate me. You don't have to stretch me so hard. You don't have to hurt me like this. I can hurt myself, and I'm paying for it. Jesus Christ is like a personal trainer. He sees something on the inside of you that he wants to bring out, but you got to work it out. He's going to push you to your limits. He's going to let you experience some things in your life. He's going to allow you to go through some stuff, because going through the hard stuff builds that muscle. Going through the challenging thing is going to build you up to be stronger so that you can endure, so that you could be better, so that you could be all that Jesus has called you to be. He wants to take you to your next level. He's not punishing you. He's growing you. As you are being formed by him, I want us to learn to be patient with ourselves. Because getting in shape doesn't happen overnight. You're going to fall back and find a donut every now and then. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Listen, you're going to fall down every now and then, but give yourself some grace. Because he's developing you. And watch this. Celebrate your victories. You got to celebrate your victories, or else you'll go through this whole life like grumpy. You ever seen a grumpy Christian? Always fussing and cussing and all that kind of stuff. A grumpy Christian is a Christian that's not celebrating their wins. You need to celebrate your wins. You need to look back at your life and say, hey, what was I doing last year? Oh, man, I'm not doing that anymore. Praise God, it's time to celebrate. Where was I in my past? What was I doing back in college? Lord, I thank God that there was no social media back when I was in college. Let me do, Antoine, I can't call. I'm not going to call you out. Listen, we went to the same college. Thank God there was no camera phones, right? But look back at your life and say, I'm not what I used to be. God is developing me, and he's growing me, and I need to take some time to celebrate. I need to bring some folks around. Throw a party. Throw yourself a party. Like, what you celebrating? Me? Don't be ashamed of that. All right, so he wants us to follow him so that he can form us. Watch this, and he's forming us so that we can fish like him. That's what we're doing. That's what he's going through. He wants us to fish like him. He says in the text, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Fish for people. What does that mean? Does that mean I need to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and get some hooks and start throwing them at people? No, please. My pastor told me I need to hook some people. No, not like that. Have mercy. And what he's inviting us to do is to build relationship with people. He wants us to reach out to people. He wants us to help people to become followers of him. Here's an easy way to start on that journey. Tell somebody your story. Tell somebody how Jesus has impacted your life. Where did Jesus bring you from? What have you been involved in that now you're no longer involved in because Jesus has grown you? He's done something miraculous in your life. He's brought you from point A to point Z. Tell your story about how Jesus impacted you. And that, my friends, is attractive to people. When they could put reality to this Christianity stuff, it's like, oh, it's just not some old book, dusty, you know, that I'm blowing off of stuff that I don't make sense of, especially if I'm reading King James Version, the I can't understand this book. But when you put your face onto these words, that is enticing to people. And Jesus wants us to reach other people. Watch this with your story. I want to end this with answering a few questions. Not from the crowd. It's questions that I believe that you would ask at this moment. But you can send me an email and ask any question you want. I'll answer them. This first question is, why do followers fish? You see, Jesus has called us to be followers. He called us to be formed so that we can fish. But why in the world would we fish? Do I have to fish? There's a lot of questions around this. Followers fish because we should have the heart of the Father. We should have the heart of Jesus. Watch this. John chapter 15, verse 13 tells us about the heart of Jesus. How does Jesus feel about people? He loves everybody. But it says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You see, the heart of Jesus is never self-centered. The heart of Jesus is never self-seeking. The heart of Jesus is always others focused. It's always, how can I help someone else? How can I bring the best out of this person? How can I reach this person so that they can be loved by God and reach their fullest potential? That's the heart of Jesus, and we should share that same heart. You see, those who are followers of Jesus, when you have this heart, you have a deep pain down on the inside of you that whenever you see someone who is disconnected from Jesus, man, that thought of being eternally separated from God forever, it should pain you. It should work on you. It should say, oh my gosh, I need to step out of my comfort zone and talk to somebody, and they can choose whether they follow Jesus or not, but I've got to show them the lifeline that I've found in my own life. I am absolutely, I don't know if you hear it in my voice, but I'm absolutely passionate about this subject matter. I am absolutely passionate about reaching people for Jesus. I am absolutely passionate about sharing what Jesus has done for me to other people. Why, Gary, are you so passionate about fishing for people, about sharing Jesus with people? It's because somebody went fishing for me one day. Somebody saw me valuable enough one day to call me out of my stuff. Somebody saw me valuable one day to have a conversation with me. Somebody found me valuable enough to invite me to lunch, to invite me to dinner, to have a conversation, to show me the love of Jesus. When I was sinking in my doubts and my despair and my distancing and my deconstruction, I didn't mean for all of them to start with D, alliteration, but anyway, when I was sinking, somebody came along and reached down in that pit that I was in and lifted me out. When I was in that pit, somebody got down in that pit with me and helped to lift me up out of my own doubts, out of my own challenges. Somebody cared enough about me to go fishing for me. And somebody cared enough about you to go fishing for you. You are not where you are right now because of your own effort. You are where you are right now because a mama prayed for you, because a daddy took you to church, because a pastor led you to the Lord, because a friend had a conversation with you, because a coworker invited you to hear the word of God, because somebody loved you. You are where you are today. And so we should mimic that. We should replicate that in our lives. We should love other people enough to say, I love you too much to watch you walk off a cliff. Jesus Christ is the one who saved me, but he used other people as vessels in my life. He used other people as friends in my life. He used other people to reach out to me in my life to pull me back into the boat. How do fishers fish? Fishers in that day fished by throwing nets into the water. You cast your net and you bring it back. fishers would go to where the fish hung out. They didn't fish in the church. They didn't fish in the temple. They went to where the fish were. What does that mean for you? What does casting your net mean for you? What does going to where the fish are mean for you? That might mean making yourself available for conversations with people. And that might mean having an event at your house and inviting some people over. That might mean inviting a coworker out to lunch this week. That might mean inviting someone to church so that they can hear the good news of Jesus. Jesus fished like this. And this is how I end. How did Jesus fish? Jesus fished with loving conversations. Not condemnation. Not screaming at the top of his lungs. Not with shunning people and making them feel guilty and kicking them out of the church. I've been in church where people got kicked out because whatever. You think that that's inviting? That's running people away. Jesus Christ loved people with loving conversations. He fished with loving conversations. When he talked to fishermen, he talked to them about fish. When he talked to farmers, he talked to them about agriculture. When he talked to people who were hungry, what did he do? He talked to them about food, and he actually bought them some food. Right? When he went, was he invited to the party? He was the one that bought the wine. I got a couple giggles. But don't be afraid to bring a bottle of wine to the party, especially if you're coming to my house. Anyway, Jesus Christ, when he talked to people, he talked in a way that they could understand. When he talked to the woman who was thirsty, he talked to her about water, and he let that conversation lead to a conversation about living water. He always represented the kingdom in his conversations. He was always fishing for people because he loved people. He was always looking for an opportunity to invite someone because he loved people. And you and I should mimic that in our following of Jesus just because he loved us and we should love others. In Syracuse, my wife and I, we tried to fish all the time. What did we do? We had events at our home. We used our home as fish and bait, if you will. I don't know. What we did was we when we purchased our home, and thank God we finally purchased a home in Minnesota. So we'll be having fishing events coming soon. But we would have things at our home, so we would invite friends. We would invite coworkers. We would invite neighbors. We would invite anybody we ran into, right, and got to know a little bit. Come to our house for this game night. We would make up anything. Have something at our house. Get some dinner. Come to our house. Why? So that we could get to know you a little bit better. Not so we could set you up and be like, oh, I got you in my house now. Jesus Christ is going to. No, please don't do that. And don't hear what I'm saying is that. What I'm saying is invite somebody over your house and have a conversation with them. Serve them some dinner. Show them the love of Jesus. Build a relationship with people. Because watch this, as we built relationship with people, as we got to know people a little bit better, we were able to take a next step and invite them closer to Jesus. We were able to invite them to our church. We were able to have a different conversation with them because we got to know them a little bit better. So use what God has already given you. If you don't have a home, go to patronize a business and take somebody out for lunch. Go to coffee. Take somebody out to coffee. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to ask you to do this week. If you would, grab your Connect card. This is how we'll end. Grab your Connect card. At the very bottom of your Connect card, there's a line that says, my next step. What I would love for you to do right now is to think, is there a person in my life who doesn't yet know Jesus? Is there a person in my life who is disconnected from Jesus or has walked away from church? We all know somebody in that category. If God is highlighting someone to you, I'm just going to ask you, would you take the time to reach out to them this week and invite them to coffee, invite them to have a conversation, invite them to lunch, invite them to just spend some time. Hey, let's go for a walk. Be creative. Spend some time with that person. If you are willing to just take that step, that I'm going to spend some time with that person that God just highlighted to me, just write the word yes on that line. Yes, God, I'm committing, because I know that if I just follow you, Jesus, if I just do what you tell me to do, you're going to do the work. You're going to make an impact. The impact that I can't make on my own, you'll do that. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. And the ushers are going to hand you a basket. That basket is for you to take that Connect card and place it in that basket, along with any tithes or offering that you brought with you today. You can also give online. And we just want to say thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you, because it's your investment in Mercy Vineyard Church that is helping us to not just share the light and love of Jesus in these four walls, but to do that outside, because we want the love and light of Jesus to shine in every dark corner of the Twin Cities, because we love the Twin Cities and we know that God has a plan and a purpose right here in the place that we love and live. So thank you for your generosity, and let us worship as the worship team comes.